I'd like to tell you a story about three little old ladies. They were very, very advanced in age. One's name was Mary, the other one was Marilyn, and the other one was Mayo. Now, all of them were in their 90s, and their memories were failing. Mary was upstairs in the bathroom, ready to get into the tub, and she hears a noise somewhere in the house, and she turns around and looks around, and then when she looks back, she sees she has one foot in the tub and one foot out. And she says, "Was I getting into the bathtub or was I getting out of the bathtub?" And so she gets scared and she calls for Marilyn. And she says, "Marilyn!" And Marilyn says, "Yes, come up here." So Marilyn gets up and she starts going up the stairs. But she hears a noise at the door and she turns around. And then when she turns back, she thinks, "Was I going upstairs or coming downstairs?" And then somebody goes ahead and knocks on the door. And Mayo gets up to answer and sees, before she answers, she sees Marilyn at the middle of the stairs, frozen. And she turns back and she says, "Was I going to open the door? Or did I just close it?" Now, that's not a joke. It is a joke, but it is something, it's a little story to illustrate a point. You see, the three ladies were suffering from a certain amount of dementia. Okay? It happens to the best of us. My mom passed away of it. So the question is, well, why am I telling you this story? Well, I'm telling you this story because a friend of mine and I were talking about the gospel today, and we were talking about spiritual dementia. Now, the question is, what does that have to do with the gospel? I'm about to tell you. It has a lot to do with the gospel. The very first thing I want you to notice before we get to that is the number 72. Now, why does Jesus pick first 12 apostles and then another 72? And before I go into, because if you notice, the content of the gospel is chiefly about what not to do when you go on a missionary journey. Don't bring this, don't bring this, stay here, and all that kind of stuff. But why does he send 72 apostles out when he's already got the 12? The answer to that is actually the fact that the intention of Jesus is to bring the gospel message to the whole world. Here's the point. Whenever Jesus is using the numbers of apostles, Jesus is actually using a kind of a number symbolism that is very, very normal for his time. Notice, in Jesus' group of numbers that he chooses, there's the number 1, there's the number 3, there's the number 12, and there's the number 72. Let's start at the beginning. 1. There is one apostle that Jesus chooses, and that's Peter. And he says to Peter, "Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter, one, is placed as the head of the apostles. The number three. Have you ever noticed that whenever Jesus goes anywhere special, he doesn't take all the 12. He takes Peter, James, and John. That's the three. When he goes to the Transfiguration, he doesn't take all the 12. He takes Peter, James, and John. Now, the 12. Well, the 12 are the 12 apostles. That's the one we're most familiar with. One for each of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But then the number 72. Well, in Jesus' world, remember, they're living before modern communications. They're living in an environment, in a culture that uses almost mythology, not mythology, but a kind of imagination to organize what they know about the world. And so in Jesus' culture, there was a way of thinking about the world that numbered the number of nations besides Israel to 72. And so when they were thinking about all of the nations, they would think of 72. So what's happening here? He's sending apostles to all the nations of the world where he intends the message of the gospel to be preached. But now what I want to focus on is really not that in itself. What I want to focus on is, did you hear the amount of stuff that he told them not to do? Not to do. Don't take more than one sandal. Don't take more than one tunic. Don't take a money bag. Where you go, stay in one house. And when you stay in one house, I want you to eat what they said before you. Don't go around moving from house to house to house. The question that should come into your mind is, why? Why all these very detailed things? And it's really very, very subtle what he's saying to them. Because what he's saying to them is, I don't want you to confuse gathering supplies for the mission with the end of the mission itself. Now think that through. A lot of times what happens is when we have something, I know I'm like this, okay? When I have something that I don't really want to do, but I know I've got to do it, you start saying, well, I got to prepare. And so you make an end out of preparing for what you got to do. Okay? Because you don't really want to, the mission is maybe hard. So you say, well, I need to get some new clothes for this. And so all of a sudden you focus on getting new clothes. Well, I need a better car for this. Oh, I need some more education for this. I need this, you know. And the mission becomes further and further and further remote. Why? Because what you're doing is you're preparing and you're making an end of preparing for the mission. Because it's easier and a lot more fun. We got to have a new house. And it's like the person who I've had couples like this who are planning someday to get married, but they have so many conditions. We're not getting married until I have to have this kind of job. I have to have this kind of house. We have to have this. And the whole point is the mission, the ultimate, gets lost. That's what Jesus is telling them. He's telling them, I don't want you going out and focusing on, well, first we better do this. And first, second, we better do that. And then we better do this. Remember last week's gospel? The gospel was when the people would go up to Jesus and say, I will follow you wherever you go. But first, let me go say goodbye to my mom and dad. And Jesus is saying, there is no but first. You come and follow me. First, let me go bury my father. No, you come and follow me. With what Jesus is saying all around these things is, don't take your eyes off of the mission, off of the ball. That's the whole issue. No matter how good these other things are, yes, you'll need, he's not telling them to go barefoot, but at the same time he's telling them, don't let your strength be zapped by all the stuff you think you have to do before you start. Now, here's kind of the clincher. Some people are so focused on the tools of life that they don't even realize what the end of life or the mission of life is. Think about this. We in the United States are in a constant state of being advertised about the tools for achieving happiness. Now, they don't ever define for you what happiness is, but you need a good car to transfer you around. You need a better house. You need better clothes. You need, and it goes on and on and on, but you forgot, what is the point? What is the point of all of these tools when you have no idea what the mission entails? And we are masters at entertaining ourselves to death as long as we don't have to focus on the ultimate mission. And so we focus on how we look, we focus on kind of the car we drive, on all of this, but remember, none of those things are the mission. So the question that I would like to all of us to just think through, what is ultimately your mission in life? Ultimately, what is your mission in life? Now, I've talked to a lot of people who say, I have no idea what my mission in life is. I have no idea. How do I even go about finding my mission in life? You don't do it that way. You don't. Your mission in life is to look at where you are right now. And right now, who are the people around you that need to be brought closer to God? Who are the people around you that you are responsible for? And what are the institutions and the place that you have in society that deserve your full attention so that they can become better than what you found them? I think a lot of people don't have an idea at all of the fact that they are right now in the middle of a cluster of all kinds of opportunities that God has placed in your life to make things better for the people and for the place where you live. And so what we do is we spend all of our time getting the tools, but the mission, either we don't know what it is, or we put it, it's got to be some, I feel like I was born for something special. Yeah, by the way, I want to tell you something. When I was little, not super little, like a teenager, I used to think that God had made me for some ultra special thing. That I was going to save someone big, or I was going to discover someone big, that something huge was made I was made for that. Until I found out that so does everybody else. So does everybody else. We all think we are super special. And so what happens? You postpone your mission because you're waiting for that final call where you're going to be brought into the starlight to complete your super important mission, when actually the mission was right in front of your eyes with the people that love you and the people that you love and the things that are around you. That was your mission. And what happens is we either miss it or we spend our times buying stuff to try to fill the emptiness or to do the mission, but we don't know what it is. And so my challenge to all of us is just this. Spend time asking yourself, without going all the way into the future, what is your mission? What are you supposed to be doing right now in your life? Don't go off in what great thing God has for you. What concrete thing, when you wake up in the morning, do you experience as the mission of your life? Who can be made a more holy, a more loving person? Who can you love in a better way? That is your mission for the day. If God wants to give you a greater mission, it will become clearer to you later on when He wants to make it clearer. But we got to stop not doing anything because we either are waiting for the greater mission or we're just fooling around with the tools of the mission in order not to have to do what we think is boring. In other words, God maybe have given you a mission, but you're looking at it and you go, I'd rather buy some more tools than do my boring mission. And that's why Jesus was saying that. Stop going. Can you imagine the apostles going from one place and they're saying, ooh, I can find a better house to stay than this. And they go to another house. Oh, they're serving better meals over here. And they go to get a better meal. All the time, ignoring the mission. And so, think it through. You know, let me close it with this. In about a month, I'm hitting 70. When you hit 70, actually way before you hit 70, you start looking back at your life. You know, you don't have a lot of front left. I know I don't have a lot of front left. And so you start looking back and you start going, is that it? Is that what I was supposed to do? And the answer is, yes. Did you do it well? Did I do it well? Even though it wasn't heroic, did I do it well? Can I stand before God, my Father, and say, I took what you gave me and I did it as well as I could possibly do it? That's my mission. And I have to accept it that I've never been someone great. Never made bishop, God forbid. Okay? Never was a great clergyman. Never was the pastor of a very rich parish. I'm just a schmucky priest on the west end of Houston. That's my mission. Okay? What's yours? And are you spending your time, too much time, looking for the tools so that you can do the prettiest mission you can, but never complete it? Or are you waiting for the heroic mission to land at your doorstep? Trust me, it won't. It's just what God wants you to do today. And that is your mission.